This is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, September 12th, 2013. I'm Christina Thomas.
And I'm Kyle Kellums. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
And KUAF is supported by Arcom Printing, located on the hillside just east of the Township and College intersection in Fayetteville. Arcom Printing provides printing, copying, and digital output services. ArcomPrinting.com or 444-7711.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, a discussion with Senator John Bozeman about the issues the House and Senate will face in the upcoming session in Washington.
Plus, what's in a name? We learn why Shiloh is so popular in Springdale. Also, how simply being nice can win points.
But first, after initially voting to revoke the licenses of two school districts that allowed teachers and staff to carry firearms as security guards, the state board yesterday reversed itself. The Arkansas Board of Private Investigators and Private Security Agencies said 13 districts whose licenses had been suspended can continue the program for another 2 years. This came after Assistant Attorney General Katina Hodge warned arming school staff was not the way the law was intended.
A private security officer, which is what the employees have been registered or commissioned as, means an individual that's employed in one of two places, either by a security services contractor or by a private business, and a school district meets neither of those definitions.
But Clarksville Superintendent David Hopkins told the board he thinks it's a cost-effective way to protect children from an armed attack.
I'm just pleading with you to reinstate our license. Let us proceed with this program. Let's err on the side of caution rather than erring on the side of, you know, what attorneys or whatever might try to find little kinks in the law to try to pull out that security that we're trying to provide for our kids that we've already put in place.
Board members eventually said a 2-year reprieve would give the legislature a chance to change laws to find ways schools could employ their own staff as armed guards.
Arkansas Governor Mike Beebe says any short-term solutions to a shortfall in the state's public school health insurance program cannot exist without accompanying systemic changes. In an interview yesterday with Roby Brock of Talk Business Arkansas, Governor Beebe said that a cash infusion of $58 million could be used as a stopgap measure to prevent increases in teachers' premiums in the near term. But any solution would require action by the state legislature.
But it doesn't do any good to throw one-time money at an ongoing problem unless you're using the one-time money as a bridge to get to the long-time solution. And so there's got to be some long-time solutions. And all of them involve putting more money into the system, either state tax dollars, redistributing existing dollars, cutting some of the tax cuts and redirecting some of that money. I mean, there are all kinds of options for the legislature to consider.
While some state legislators have floated the idea of holding a special session to address the program's shortfall, Governor Beebe says a credible solution must be formulated before he will even consider calling a special session.
If you're going to have a special session, let's get everybody's heads together. Let's see if we can have a consensus. If there's a majority of the House and a majority of the Senate and my office can agree on how we can help the teachers with the problem, with the health insurance problem, if we can agree on that, then you can get in and out in 3 days. But you do all that work without charging the taxpayers all that money ahead of time. And so the meetings are going on now. I've already met with legislative leadership and others outside of leadership, and will continue to meet with any member of the General Assembly to throw out and suggest various options.
The shortfall in the insurance program exists as a result of more claims being filed, while fewer teachers are paying into the system, as more educators have chosen to use other insurance companies for coverage.
U.S. News and World Reports recently released its 2014 Best Colleges rankings, and for the fifth consecutive year, John Brown University in Siloam Springs has topped the publication's list of best value regional colleges in the South. The university also ranked number 2 overall in the list of the 100 best Southern regional colleges. Dr. Chip Pollard, president of JBU, says the continued high rankings play into the school's continued success.
Well, we really appreciate third-party endorsements of the work that we're doing at the school. And so it's a measure of what others see as the quality of the education at JBU, which is, you know, translates to how parents and students think about where they'll come. So it's been an important part of our larger growth over the last 10 years.
Dr. Pollard says several factors have helped JBU stay at the top of the rankings for the past 5 years and within the top 10 list for the last decade. More than 2,500 students from 40 states and 39 countries are enrolled at JBU.
Also receiving praise by U.S. News and World Reports is the Walton College of Business at the University of Arkansas. In this year's rankings, the Walton College was again ranked 27th among public undergraduate business schools in the U.S., and the school was again tied for 47th among public and private undergraduate business schools in the country. Looking at the publication's rankings of business specialities, the Walton College was ranked 16th overall in the category of supply chain management and logistics, and 13th in the same category among public business colleges.
Yesterday, 3rd District Congressman Steve Womack and Senators Mark Pryor and John Bozeman announced a $75,000 grant for the Rogers Municipal Airport. The grant will be used to conduct a wildlife hazard assessment, which should in turn improve safety and operations at the airport.
The city of Springdale is now under a burn ban. According to the city, the ban is a result of the red flag warning issued by Washington County Fire Marshal. And because of the lack of substantial rain during the past several weeks, the ban will remain in effect until further notice. According to the U.S. Drought Monitor, nearly 63% of the state is under abnormally dry conditions, including areas in Benton, Washington, Carroll, Crawford, and Sebastian counties.
Northwest Arkansas has made another top 10 list, this time as being one of the most inexpensive cities for frugal retirees. Fayetteville ranks fourth on the list by MoneyRates.com, a marketing site providing information on bank rates, personal finance, savings accounts, and investing. According to the site, the city's cost of living is 86% of the national average.
Tonight, expect mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of showers, with lows from 62 in northwest Arkansas to 70 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, Friday, partly sunny with highs from 82 to 89. Mostly clear tomorrow evening with overnight lows from 53 in northwest Arkansas to 62 in the Arkansas River Valley.
This is Ozarks at Large. Do you remember as a child going to the school nurse when you felt ill? She would comfort you until your mom came to pick you up. Public schools still employ registered nurses, but as Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, several dozen Arkansas districts now also operate school-based health and wellness centers.
It's quiet this Monday morning at the Lincoln Public School District Wellness Center, with just one little boy receiving care. But over a span of 3 years since the center opened, lots of kiddos have been helped, says Superintendent Mary Ann Spears.
And we do all kinds of things. We have a doctor that comes in. We have dental services that come in. We have counseling, school site-based counseling for our students. And then we have a psychiatrist that comes in and does meds for kids that need that as well.
And the need is great here because 72% of students qualify for free or reduced lunch. Newly hired social worker Crystal Pitts helps coordinate treatment and conducts individual and group counseling in the center's private counseling quarters.
So the referral process is the counselors will receive referrals from teachers or faculty, and then they will send them to me if they need further services than what the counselor can provide. So then I'll refer them out to either myself or OGC or Methodist Family.
OGC is Ozark Guidance, based in Springdale, and Methodist Family Health is based in Little Rock. Both are comprehensive behavioral health care providers. Lincoln School District Wellness Center staff describe the place as a one-stop shop for medical services, including food insecurity intervention. Of course, parents must consent to such care. Faculty and staff refer students to the center, where they will meet Director Marty Kauser at intake. She gives us a quick tour, starting with the center's dental office.
We had a dentist that had committed, but that has since fallen through, so we're going to try chasing someone different now. And so we're working on this piece. The next room over is where we have our snack pack for kids program. And every Friday we send out bags of food that can cover most of their needs for the weekend. We have a lot of hygiene products we get donated from United Way. And so we use those just about every day. All the schools in the district can come and use this closet. And then we have a psychiatrist that comes every other week on a Wednesday. Her office is here. And then Dr. Deer is our MD that comes, and she comes once a week on Tuesdays. And these are the exam rooms that she uses.
The center provides preventive health care as well as eye care.
We do the vision hearing screenings here at school that they do at every school. However, there are a lot of the kids that need glasses that can't get transportation. So a lot of times we will transport to Fayetteville Eye Center, get what they need there.
When it first opened 3 years ago, the center operated out of a very small renovated house where group therapy had to be conducted in the laundry room. But since the new high school was built off campus, the center found new spacious quarters in part of the old high school building. Director Marty Kauser first started here when the district was awarded its first wellness center grant, $175,000, 3 years ago.
Which covered salaries of the workers here and then supplies and some travel. Now we're on what they call the extension grant, which will decrease in funding over the next 3 years. And we're on 100,000 this year, and it will decrease to 80,000 and then down to 70,000. And by that time, we need to have found our sustainability to maintain the clinic on our own.
The center gets 20% of providers' billings, which is either private insurance or our kids, the state's Children's Medicaid Fund, with typically no out-of-pocket costs for patients' families. And physician Dr. Deer comes once a week.
Right now, that is fulfilling our needs. She comes for the morning hours on Tuesdays, and we are able to give her a pretty full schedule each Tuesday. Anything that might cross over through a weekend, we can call her, and she works them in at her clinic before the weekend comes, because her clinic is locally, and we can transport those kids there if needed.
But the center also operates at a significant loss, given 50% or more of patients' families are working poor, so earn too much for Medicaid, but too little to afford private health insurance. So staff provide their care for free.
A lot of times there's one vehicle per family. The father's working in Fayetteville or Springdale or Rogers, and the mother has no way of getting the children to a physician. So that's why we really had the need to have on-site services so that we can see them 5 days a week.
But come October, many working poor families will, for the first time, be able to enroll in subsidized private health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. And if school-based wellness centers are listed on insurance providers' plan, those centers will likely see a boost in billable income. Lincoln Wellness Center staff meet once a year with other school-based health centers in Little Rock. To date, 21 Arkansas districts have received startup grants, says Tamara Baker, statewide coordinator based at the Arkansas Department of Health. ADH works in partnership on the centers with the Arkansas Department of Education.
The funding came through in 2000, based on a 2009 legislation, tobacco excise tax in Arkansas. And those tax dollars went into the general fund to fund five or six different health initiatives, and we were kind of a small piece of that, but we were a piece of that excise tax that came through in 2009. So our first funded schools really got it, and we put out that RFA pretty quick, so we have, we're just starting our fourth year.
Tamara Baker says the grant program is really competitive because all Arkansas school districts want wellness centers.
Priority points are given to schools, and I need to get that in front of me. There's priorities for if you live in a red county, which is a county with some health disparities going on, and they have high poverty. And there's several different ways schools can get priority points to reach those populations that need it the most. And the idea is to get quality health care to children that aren't getting health care.
Nearly 2,000 school-based health centers operate across the U.S., according to a National Assembly on School-Based Healthcare Census. And just last year, the Affordable Care Act provided $14.5 million in capital grants to 50 districts nationwide to expand their centers. And Lincoln School District Wellness Center Director Marty Kauser says she's clearly seeing a difference among her students.
I can't really put a number to the people that we see that are more well than they used to be, but we can absolutely put a number to how much more they are in school. Their academics are better. Their attendance is better. We see all these things improve since we've come here to the campus.
But more important, student well-being is clearly on the rise, she says.
they see me in the hall and they just give me a hug. They've received clothes from us. They've received vaccines from us. They receive food every week from us. Anytime they're sick, they come see Dr. Deer, and they're just happier kids for it. I've seen such a difference. And if they are in counseling, the counselors can always comment on, these are just different kids than we saw before. And it's such a blessing. You know, that's what we're here for, is to try to make their lives better.
The Lincoln School District Wellness Center would like to make the entire campus better by someday conveying medical, mental, and preventive health care services to faculty and staff. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
And that's when we realized we had overlooked one small but very important detail. We forgot to ask Sandra which bedroom window was hers.
I've been sheltered all my life by the humane practice of courtship and romantic etiquette. I was unprepared for how the rest of the animal world likes to go about love.
He flicks his wrist, sending the eggs up into the air into two perfectly laid out slow motion backflips. But something goes terribly wrong.
Tales from the South, Saturday afternoon at 3:30 on KUAF.
Most of the attention in Washington the past week has been on Syria and the discussion over what, if any, action to take against the country's leadership. But the House and Senate have plenty of other matters to attend to before the end of the year. Yesterday, Arkansas Senator John Bozeman, a Republican in his first term in the U.S. Senate, talked to Mark Smith from our content partner KASU in Jonesboro. Senator Bozeman, no surprise here, says he remains a staunch critic of the Affordable Care Act. He also says there is a need to continue conversations about the Farm Bill and other legislation, like a large water infrastructure bill.
Those things aren't glamorous. But, you know, ensuring that the Mississippi River has adequate funding, the Arkansas River, our inland waterways, our ports, those are the things. We talk a lot about jobs and the economy. Those are the things that are so important and really will maintain the jobs that we have and create additional jobs in being the underpinnings of our economy.
And this goes to the pressing matters that Congress already had on its plate coming back from the August recess before the Syria matter heated up so much, not the least of which is the Farm Bill, which is again up against a looming deadline.
Right. No, the Farm Bill is we have to deal with that. We'll probably have a short-term extension of the current bill. I'm pleased to be a conferee, and we'll be working with the House when they name conferees. But this is one of those other things. In regard to the economy, the way to get it moving forward is to give stability. Our farmers now don't know what the rules are going to be for the next 5 years. So because of that, they're not buying equipment. That's not filtering into the local economy because they're not making purchases like that and all of the other things. So hopefully we'll be able to get that done. I think we've got a good chance of it before the first of the year. I don't know exactly how it will be done. The good news is I think the average congressman is understanding how important that is to their state's economy and to the economy of the United States.
And, of course, as you mentioned, there are still these budget matters to deal with. You have the effects of the sequester still going on and another showdown on the debt ceiling on the way as well.
Yes, sir. All of that is coming about. You know, I'd like to see some tax reform mixed in with that. We'll just have to wait and see as we go forward. But these are all, you know, significant problems. And the reality is, you know, we can't continue to have the deficits that we have. We do have to, be very, very, the reality of the significant national debt that we've had and do some things to start trimming that back. This is like gravity. You know, these are simple truths. You just can't spend a whole lot more than what you have coming in.
And then, of course, there's health care. I understand one of the things you're proposing is a delay in implementing both the employer and individual mandates.
Well, health care is really an absolute mess. We're at 20,000 pages of regulations, $1 trillion worth of additional taxes. They estimate, because people aren't hiring, due to this 800,000 job loss, and we're rapidly becoming a nation of part-time employees with businesses trying to beat the system. So it's simply not working. You know, is all we've got to go show for it so far, and I think, you know, even much, much more so next year, is increased premiums and deductibles. And so it's not a good situation. I'd very much like to start over. But the current situation is not workable.
Well, there have been, you know, many attempts to start over to repeal this, but those have been unsuccessful. And are you in support of the efforts to defund the ACA?
Well, I'd like to defund it, but what I don't want to do is you defund it by having the votes to do that. And right now, you know, the votes simply aren't there. So the problem is if you really push that, what that means is that the House and the Senate will come to a stalemate. President Obama won't have anything to do with this. The House will have enough votes to do that. The Senate simply won't act, or they'll vote against that. So you'll have a stalemate. When that happens, then the funding for the government will shut down. We haven't passed any of the appropriations bills so far. And so, you know, the local food processing plants there, those workers will have to go home because the inspector won't be there. My concern is, you know, what does that do to, you know, hardworking Arkansans, Americans? What does that do to single moms, you know, that are struggling, and really all of us, you know, but especially, you know, people that are struggling so much? If they go home and aren't paid, you know, for those weeks when they're out of work, nobody is going to pay them. And so you're holding the American people hostage, and I just don't agree with that strategy.
So can you take the current health care law and fix some of the things that you feel are wrong with it?
No, I think you can do that, and you know, but again, there's been real resistance to changing. I think the fear of the president, Senator Reid, and that group is that when you start opening it up, then there's the ability to really amend in ways that they simply don't want to do it. Now, one of the core things that we've got to do in controlling cost is get rid of nuisance lawsuits. And yet, you know, they're not going to do that. You know, they simply, you know, have really made it such that that's been very difficult. So that's really the problem. But and since you can't do that, you know, since you reach an impasse there, then I'd like to see us go, you know, the private market with more competition, shopping across state lines for insurance, allowing people like my barber with a few employees to go into the marketplace with 1,000 other barbers and get a better deal, health savings accounts, those kind of things. But this is affecting everybody. It doesn't matter if you're a school teacher or a worker in a major corporation or self-employed. The problem with health insurance when all of this started was it was unaffordable. That's the problem we needed to solve. And sadly, this has created a situation where it's made it that much more unaffordable.
Senator John Bozeman made his comments yesterday during a conversation with Mark Smith from our content partner KASU yesterday. This is Ozarks at Large. Compassion Fayetteville is a group of citizens connected to the Fayetteville Forward Initiative, which was started by Mayor Lionel Jordan. Compassion Fayetteville's mission is to cultivate passion in the community, world, and people in order to enhance the quality of life for all. The group spent their first year raising awareness, and this, their second year, they're focusing on linking compassion to action. Linked to an international movement based on something called the Charter for Compassion, Fayetteville is one of 70 cities organizing to become a compassionate city. Look for more next February. Nancy Harris explains how the movement got its start.
It's part of a dream of Karen Armstrong's, who initiated the entire compassion movement. And her dream was to have every city in the world be designated a compassionate city. So that's kind of the long-term goal, and that's what we're part of, is bringing Fayetteville in. Which is probably one of the smallest cities so far involved, yeah. Which I think is really cool.
She's joined by Patty Williams.
There's one in Turkey. You know, it is international, right, it is, but we international. Are one of the smallest.
Directly linked to the movement and taking action are the International Compassion Games, which began yesterday in Fayetteville and around the world. As Harris says, the games are putting a fire under the group to get the charter completed. In the games, cities compete and get points for acts of kindness. But rather than competition, it's a coopetition.
Louisville got recognition from the International Compassion Action Group as an outstanding compassionate city. And then they challenged other cities, and Seattle stepped up and met their challenge. And last year, those two had their own compassion games. That's when it started. Well, Louisville outdid Seattle by 70,000 points. But Louisville's mayor offered to go to Seattle and help them beat Louisville. That's the spirit of it. Coopetition, you know.
Survival of the kindest.
Yeah, yeah. So other cities got interested at that point, and so that's where we are now. This year, more cities being involved. But the idea is to cooperate, to compete.
There are no winners, just competing to do as much as you can, which really doesn't seem competitive. But on the other hand, the Fayetteville group is pushing for people to do the most good. The start date of September 11th for the 10-day coopetition is no coincidence.
It's the National Day of Commemoration, September 11th, and September 21st is the UN International Day of Peace. So they have that, those two points, you know, to designate it.
Fayetteville will be competing. Keep in mind, there are no winners. With cities such as Atlanta, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Newfoundland, Canada, among a handful of others. Through the 21st, individuals and groups are being called upon to do random acts of kindness.
That's a spontaneous act, you know, like doing some good deed for your neighbor, do the pay it forward. You might have heard of that, where you go to the window and your meal's already been paid by somebody in front of you. There are also service acts where you can do volunteer work for, let's say, volunteer at the animal shelter, or volunteer with a food drive with the city.
For each hour volunteered by a Fayetteville citizen, the city receives 1 point. It can be individuals or groups. Here's Patty Williams.
Like Seven Hills, mm-hmm. and they had volunteers. And so they'll take the number of hours that the volunteers had. So a group can put it into like 22 hours. Because like Festival, we could do some events, and so I asked Festival how many volunteer hours they had. And though it's not in the games, it's leading up to the games and kind of paving the way. So I submitted 22 hours on this site.
All of the volunteer hours and dollars from next week's Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue will also be counted, as the event is occurring during the Compassion Games, and the organizers are on board. Also, any items or monies donated to charity equals 1 point. Not only acts of kindness, but stories of compassion will also count.
A friend of mine told me about a young cheerleader at, not Ramey, but Woodland. And some kids were making fun of a female who was playing football. So this young head of the cheerleading squad called the cheerleading squad together, and they were participating in making fun of mm-hmm. her. And my friend's granddaughter said, I don't think this is the way we need to be. It really bothers me. I think we need to be different. So they stopped the kidding. They went to the young person and supported her. And when Woodland, and this just happened 2 days ago,
oh.
and so I'm going to submit this report. And so when the Woodland administrators heard about it, they gave my friend's granddaughter some kind of recognition as a example of
Great.
Compassion. So that's the kind of story that I think can be submitted.
Right.
And because of this story, the Compassion Games have spread to various local schools. And for Patty Williams, it's all about raising that awareness for kindness.
You know, it's really not about coopetition even as much for me as it is raising awareness around mm-hmm. compassion mm-hmm. and that it really does mean not just that we have compassion in our heart toward our fellow human beings, we actually act in compassionate mm-hmm. ways, and this is just a way to try to emphasize that from the inside out to connecting to mm-hmm. another person, human being.
To submit acts of kindness, go to CompassionGames.org and find Fayetteville on the Compassion map. Nancy Harris and Patty Williams are volunteer members of Compassion Fayetteville and organizers of the International Compassion Games. For more information, search Compassion Games Fayetteville on Facebook. This is Ozarks at Large.
Designer babies, driverless cars, tracking devices on everything and everyone. This is the future, and it's coming fast. So you think that within 5 years, people will be sitting in the passenger seat while their car drives them to work?
And back.
I'm Guy Raz, predicting the future on the next TED Radio Hour from NPR.
The TED Radio Hour, every Sunday at noon on KUAF 91.3 FM.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas.
I'm Kyle Kellums. The annual Susan G. Komen Pink Ribbon Luncheon will be held Thursday, October 3rd from 11:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. at the Northwest Arkansas Convention Center in Springdale. Proceeds from this luncheon and silent auction will benefit Komen Ozark. Tickets and more information are available at KomenOzark.org.
If you have Alzheimer's disease or think you may have Alzheimer's disease, Health Initiatives Research is seeking participants to evaluate the effectiveness and safety of an oral study drug that may slow the progression of mild to moderate Alzheimer's disease. More information is available by calling 871-1771.
Just ahead on Ozarks at Large, the latest installment in our series, What's in a Name? Why are so many things in Springdale called Shiloh?
But first, a few notes. The Fayetteville Public Library will be an enrollment location for the American Cancer Society's Cancer Prevention Study 3, next Wednesday, September 18th, from 2 to 6:30 p.m. Learn more about how you can get involved at www.cps3nwark.org.
So that's CPS, the number 3, NWARK.org.
It's kind of a mouthful.
It is. The Alma Public Library is offering a special treat to their library patrons this month. Each new library card applicant in September at the Alma Public Library will receive a small gift and have their name placed in the Smartest Card Get It, Use It drawing. Current cardholders can also enter the drawing when they use their library card. If you'd like more information about the library, you can call them at 632-4140. They're at 624 Fayetteville Avenue in Alma. Hours Monday through Friday, 8 to 6, Saturday 10 until 2. I have been to the Alma Public Library.
You have?
I had a lot of stories one day to do in Alma, and that was kind of my base of operations in between stories.
Well, there
they
you go.
Very nice to me there.
I have never been there. I've only been to the Alma PAC.
Gotcha.
Right. The jazz group Cone Collective will perform at Fresco Cafe from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Fresco Cafe and Pub in Fayetteville. The trio features drummer Nate Wong, pianist Johan Whitehouse, and Tulsa bassist Jordan Hill. More information is available at natewongmusic.com.
And registration is now open for the 2013 HWOA conference, which will take place October 4th at the Jones Center in Springdale. Keynote speaker for the conference is Henry Cisneros, former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development cabinet member. Registration $50 before September 21st, $60 after that. Admission free to students who show a current ID and register for the full conference. There is room available for exhibit booths for $100. For more information about this year's HWOA conference, you can call 751-9494.
The Center for Lifelong Learning at the University of Arkansas Fort Smith will offer a diverse set of 39 courses, workshops, and trips in the month of October, varying in both topic and length. The courses range from personal enrichment classes such as yoga and foreign language learning to traveling to locations across the United States and the world. Also, the Center for Business and Professional Development at the University of Arkansas Fort Smith will offer classes including focused training solutions, marketing and social media, as well as commercial driving training courses. More information at uafs.edu.
And the Fayetteville Adult Education Center will celebrate 5 years in the restored Jefferson Elementary School Tuesday with an open house from 10 until noon. The center provides the adult population of Washington County the opportunity to become self-sufficient, self-reliant, contributing members of society with free community education classes.
One of the things I like to do each week is to look at special upcoming kind of fun days.
Yes.
And I just wanted to point out that today is National Chocolate Milkshake Day.
There you go.
Kind of the only kind of milkshake you should have,
so,
in my opinion.
Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's any question. Yeah, so chocolate milkshake day.
Go to Brahms, Sonic, any of the other ice cream places and have
exactly.
a chocolate milkshake.
Okay. Or make your own.
Right. You could do that,
yes.
too.
Yes. It's also video game day, and I don't even know what that means. Do you play video games? Do you celebrate video games?
I guess for all the video game junkies, it's a good excuse to just...
But don't they... Well,
they do it anyway.
Yes, exactly. And if you really like chocolate milkshakes, you don't have to wait till today either. But it's a good excuse
right.
to at least mentally tell yourself it's guilt-free.
All right. Well, in about 9.5 minutes here on Ozarks at Large, we'll hear a new song from Trout Fishing in America.
They were in the Furman Garden Performance Studio earlier this week with Mike Shirky. You'll hear the full performance Saturday night on Mike's program. But we're going to get a sneak preview, like you said, in about 9.5 minutes.
Right. If you drive around Springdale, a name you'll find on signs throughout the town is Shiloh. But where does that name come from? As we continue our monthly What's in a Name series, Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda investigates.
According to the Shiloh Museum of Ozark History's website, archaeologists believe people have lived in the area for about 12,000 years. The abundance of natural resources attracted the earliest people, and Osage Indians frequently used this area for hunting. The Cherokee Treaty of 1828 opened the area to settlers from eastern states. Susan Young, outreach coordinator for the museum, says the first established settlement in the Springdale area can be traced back to the 1830s, when there were just a few families living there. But by the 1840s, she says there were enough families living in the area to merit the need for a church.
They were all allied families in that they... If they weren't related by marriage, they had traveled here together from back east, and they all had the same worship, the Primitive Baptists. They were the old hard shell, foot washing Primitive Baptists. So they established a church around 1840, and the church name was Shiloh. Now, we've researched, and there's no definitive answer. What is the Hebrew meaning of the word Shiloh? What I can say for certain is that it's a place in the Holy Land. It's mentioned in the Old Testament. It's a very sacred place where the Ark of the Covenant was stored for a time. So all that, what that gives us insight into is that picking the name of their church as Shiloh was kind of an auspicious name that the community, the few families that were here in 1840 were. Church going was very much a part of their everyday lives. So the church and the community became known as one and the same within a few years, Shiloh.
Young says after the Civil War, settlers applied for a post office, but there was already another town in Arkansas named Shiloh with a post office. Young explains at that time there were no zip codes, so it would be difficult to know to which Shiloh a letter should be delivered. This resulted in the selection of a new name for the town, and Sarah Reed Meek is credited with coming up with Springdale.
But what she came up with, according to family lore, is Springs in the Dale, because of Spring Creek, which flows right through the downtown area, and it's fed by natural springs. Also, family lore has it that Sarah Meek heard her husband, who was one of the town leaders, and he was in on the discussion of what to name this town. What, we got to have a post office, what are we going to change our name to? And they went through several permutations of, well, let's name it after old Reverend Holcomb, because he was one of the founders. Let's call it Holcombville. Or, well, what about Mr. Putman? He was important. Let's call it Putman Town. Or old Ann Huffmaster, Huffmasterville. So they went through all these names to honor early founders, and they couldn't agree on anything, is what the Reed family lore is. And so Sarah Reed Meek heard her husband coming home with this dilemma and reportedly said, why don't you name it Springs in the Dale? Just don't even name it for a person. And that was shortened to Springdale. And so we applied and became Springdale with a post office in 1872, and then the town was incorporated in 1878. So we've been Springdale ever since.
Several of those early founders have been honored by having streets named after them. Outreach coordinator Susan Young says Shiloh Museum staff members have been researching the Civil War because of the event's sesquicentennial, and what they found is that soldiers referred to the area by yet another name. She says in most of the military records they've examined, they've found people referring to the little community as Holcomb Spring, a nod to the John and Dorothea Holcomb family. Susan explains the family owned a lot of land in the area, and John was a preacher in the Shiloh Church. Though the original Shiloh Church no longer exists, the third one does. The building is located on the Shiloh Museum grounds, and Young says they hope to eventually restore its interior so it can be used. Although Springdale was incorporated in 1878, Young says the name Shiloh still appeared into the early 1900s. In the 1920s and 30s, Young says stories from the sports page of the Fayetteville newspaper often mentioned playing the boys from Shiloh. The museum opened years later in 1968, and planners made the decision to incorporate Shiloh into its name.
You can look back in old newspaper articles about plans for a Springdale City Museum, but now I think from the get-go, the people who found the community founded the museum, and I think from the word go, it's going to be the Shiloh Museum. It was the Shiloh Museum of Springdale at first, and then as we kind of set about what is our mission, what story do we want to tell, we refined it to be the Shiloh Museum of Ozark History. Well, that's really not refining it. We broadened it. We broadened it to say we're the Shiloh Museum of Ozark History, meaning we're going to tell the story of the Arkansas Ozarks.
Of course, that's just one example of the prevalence of the word Shiloh in Springdale today. Another example is Shiloh Christian School, which, according to its website, was founded in 1976 as a ministry of the First Baptist Church of Springdale. Other examples include Shiloh Square, the Shiloh Sacred Harp Singers, and, of course, Shiloh Street. Though it has been more than a century since the town was officially named Springdale, why does the Shiloh name remain?
I think in Springdale, there's a strong sense of roots, and that Shiloh harkens back to the sense of the community's history. I mean, you know, you have the largest museum in the history museum in the region located in Springdale, and that's just a nod to the importance that the community has placed on its history over the years. So Shiloh just continues to be an important sense of place for Springdale, I think. Maybe not so much now. I mean, there's plenty of people now that don't have any idea about Shiloh being the original name of Springdale. So that's kind of our mission, is to help honor those early community founders by recognizing and remembering that name, Shiloh.
For more information on Springdale history, you can visit shilohmuseum.org. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
On this week's Generic Blue Show, we have a name brand interview with Samantha Fish. She has a new album out, Black Wind Howlin'. She plays in Fayetteville twice next week. And when she was in the studio, she played a few acoustic tunes. That's the Generic Blue Show every Friday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you then.
It is Thursday, September 12, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
With us, Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
And in the final installment, our musical tour of the week.
Yeah.
Exile.
Oh, my goodness. Exile.
What's that?
Exile. I know this because back when I was a country and western DJ, 26, 27 years ago, Exile was at their peak on the country charts. They actually started as kind of a pop band.
With a song called Kiss You All Over.
Right.
Oh, I know that song.
And then...
And I was dating a DJ when all the controversy about that song and Afternoon Delight was being argued on local radio.
Then they morphed into a rather successful country band.
With songs like Woke Up in Love, Give Me One More Chance.
Yeah.
Well, they're back together. They've been back together for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and it is all members that played with the band before. It is not the original lineup, but it is the country lineup.
Okay.
And they will be performing at 2 o'clock on Sunday at the Arendart Center in Bentonville as the season opener for the Live on Stage in Northwest Arkansas series.
There you go.
I got to talk to their pianist, Marlon Hargis, on the phone, and he says, you know, No, we don't get tired of playing Kiss You All Over, because if it takes the audience right back to 1978, it takes us there too. The difference is, now we do things like go sightseeing because we're not partying anymore.
And that's at Erin Arts Center.
Tickets are $5 for kids and $25 for adults. Again, a beautiful facility just like the one in Alma. You'll have a good time.
Thank you, Becca.
Becca Martin Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large. Keith Grimwood and Ezra Eidlett make up the folk duo Trout Fishing in America. For three decades, the two have sung about the woes of daycare as well as nursery rhyme polkas to children and adults around the region and around the nation. They've been nominated for Grammy Awards as well. Earlier this month, they released a new album, Rubber Baby Buggy Bumpers. They stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio to play the title track.
2, 3, 4. When I don't know what to do and I don't know what to think, I say something cause it's fun to say. Rubber baby buggy bumpers. And it doesn't mean a thing, might sound a little strange, I just say it cause it's fun to say. Rubber baby buggy bumpers. Red leather, yellow leather, a pink lorry, yellow lorry, three gray geese in the green grass grays, rubber baby buggy bumpers. Rubber baby buggy bumpers. Rubber baby buggy bumpers. I just say it cause it's fun to say. Rubber baby buggy bumpers. Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Your tongue starts wagging and twists all around. You start gagging like a dragon, making a silly sound. Got knots in your tongue tied upside down. Seven slippery snakes slowly slithering southward. Six sheep, 26 shepherds. Unique New York, you know you need unique New York.
When I don't know what to do and I don't know what to think, I say something cause it's fun to say. Rubber baby buggy bumpers. And it doesn't mean a thing, might sound a little strange, I just say it cause it's fun to say. Rubber baby buggy bumpers. Stupid superstition, benevolent elephant, Shelly sells seashells by the seashore, rubber baby buggy bumpers. Hippo hiccups, bad money, mad bunny, witch wristwatches are Swiss
watches,
rubber baby buggy bumpers. Rubber baby buggy bumpers, everybody. Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Come on, Mike.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers. I just say it cause it's fun to say.
Here comes Emily.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
One more time.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
You can hear more from Trout Fishing in America this Saturday evening at 8 o'clock with Mike Shirky on the Pick and Post.
Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night, beginning at 10 p.m. On this Saturday edition of Shades of Jazz, we'll hear some great music like that in the background. That's Miles Davis from Porgy and Bess doing Summertime. We'll also hear from Don Byron and Art Van Dam, Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers, Bud Powell, and much more. Tune in this Saturday at 10 p.m. for Shades of Jazz. Thank you.
The 7th Annual Ozark Mountain Artist Tour will take place Friday, September 20th through Sunday the 22nd. The tour is a self-guided scenic driving tour in Newton County with stops to meet various artists and view their work in a variety of media. Maps and more information available at ozarkmountainartists.com. Sponsored in part by the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle. Ozarks at Large is sponsored in part by the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle, whose mission is to transform and expand women's giving to university programs and research through a collective voice.
All right, some unfinished business to take care of from yesterday. Antoinette Grajeda and I were the co-hosts yesterday, and Antoinette asked a question. The correct answer, all the correct answers, put randomly in the ceramic cow, and the randomly chosen winner will receive two tickets to any Malco Theater.
So what was the question?
The question was, yesterday marked the 163rd anniversary of the first American performance by a singer who was popularly known in her time as the Swedish Nightingale. Her first American concert was in New York City in 1850.
Wow.
And the reason she asked that is because there is kind of a connection to our area. We said, if you look at a Fort Smith City map, you'll see the answer. And the answer is?
Jenny Lind.
Jenny Lind, right.
I thought it was because I'm part Swedish, but, you know.
Is the reason she picked the question? Well, maybe that had something to do with it. And so we had correct answers, as you might imagine. Kristen Hashbarger has been randomly chosen. So, Kristen, we'll be back in touch, get your address, and send you some movie tickets to any Malco Theater. Another person who answered correctly, Ray Palmer, wanted to know, why is that street called Jenny Lind in Fort Smith?
You're going to find out, aren't
you? Yes. So listen in next month. That's our What's in a Name. I've kind of heard the story before, but we'll nail it down and bring that to you next week. So
All right. Once
again, the Swedish Nightingale was Jenny Lind.
Okay. And next month, not next week.
Yes, next month, because it's a once-a-month
series
that we do about What's in a Name.
Right.
So, yes, in October.
Right.
Very good.
A program commemorating the 175th anniversary of the Trail of Tears is set for Saturday, September 28th at 1 p.m. at Pea Ridge Battlefield National Military Park in Garfield. The program will take place at Elkhorn Tavern near a section of the original Military Telegraph Road traveled by Cherokees during their forced removal from their ancestral eastern homelands to Indian Territory in 1838 and 1839. This event is free, and you can call 750-8165 for more information.
I've got more unfinished business to take care of. Last week we had the story about Crystal Lake Farms near Decatur.
Right, the chicken.
Right. And as of now, their website has gone live, by the way, crystallakefarms.com.
Awesome.
They were just putting it together last week when the story aired, but it is now there, crystallakefarms.com. Also, Antoinette and I talked last week when we mentioned a name. I should tell you, this is KUAF, 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, Boxley Valley. We picked Jane, Missouri as one of the towns last week, and I mentioned in closing of that program that I thought Henry Fonda had been there decades ago to film a movie about Jesse James. He was, and word is he stayed one night in Rogers, or perhaps more than one night, but he stayed in Rogers at a hotel there during the filming.
Cool.
So, just wanted to get all of that out there.
All right. Well, Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF.
Yes, it is. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Antoinette Grajeda will join me tomorrow for another brand new edition. You and I back together Sunday morning.
Right, for an all-new weekend edition of Ozarks at Large.
That's right.
All right.
Thanks,
until
Christina.
Then, thank you. Thanks for listening.